Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from James chapter 5. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the text. If you read the newsletter article for October, some of what I say this morning will be old news to you. Regardless, all of this I look at as being old news. There's stories in the media of the possible evidence of some papyrus that suggests that Jesus had a wife. I'm sure you've heard that news story. They found this piece of papyrus supposedly making this tantalizing suggestion. And they call it the Gospel of Jesus' Wife because they clearly want to make some news. It's a small fragment, smaller than the new iPhone 5. It's written in Coptic, which is an Egyptian language used from about the 3rd century through the 7th century. The fragment suggested it comes from around the 4th century and might be a translation of stuff from the 2nd century, blah, blah, blah. It contains a few words on various lines that refer to Jesus, his mother, his disciples. And one of the lines says, Jesus said, my wife. Now, I do appreciate that with this announcement, they actually released a copy and translation of the text. Because a few years ago, when the Gospel of Judas was big news, the promoters of it, they must have been embarrassed by what the actual text said because they didn't release it. And then later on, when I finally was able to see it for the first time, I laughed when I read it. I mean, these early Gnostic stories are just insane. If you want a good laugh, Google the Gospel of Judas and read the actual text. It's hilarious. It's to the point that I don't know how anyone could believe that this is a part of historical reality. But, oh, it made such big news back in the day. I think it was 2006 when that was released. So I do appreciate that with this latest discovery that most of the scholars have been responsible with pointing out that even if this new text is authentic from the 4th century, it really says nothing about Jesus. But they gave it the name that they did because they wanted to make some news. It's a scrap of papyrus written in Egypt by Gnostics, who were a non-Christian sect, cult, whatever you want to call them, around the 4th century. This was not written by Christians, just like the Gospel of Thomas, and the Gospel of Mary, and the Gospel of Philip, and the Gospel of Judas. The list goes on and on. The Gnostics wrote all of these crazy stories. There's no need to get worked up about whether or not Jesus had a wife. The Bible is very clear. The actual Gospels are very clear about who Jesus was, the Son of God, and the reason that he came to be that final lamb of sacrifice upon the altar of the cross, to defeat sin, death, and Satan so that you can live. Questioning what the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, say about Jesus because of what this little scrap of papyrus says, it would be like suggesting that we shouldn't decorate or celebrate Christmas this year because the Jehovah Witnesses say that we shouldn't do that. I mean, if you want to find Gnostics in the modern world, the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons are prime examples. They have a lot of similarities. I mean, they really are Gnostic. and like the Gnostics, they want to be perceived as Christian even while they deny the truth of Christ. Now, there are many scholars who have come out this week who doubt the authenticity of this little fragment for a lot of reasons. One is there's no evidence about the discovery of the text. No one knows where it came from, or I shouldn't say no one. There is no public knowledge of where it came from or even who owns it, and that has not been disclosed. And because the dating of Coptic handwriting is very imprecise, it is suggested that extreme caution should be used when trying to put any absolute time frame on this little fragment. There's also serious questions about the size and the shape of the fragment, and this is what really caught my attention. Unlike any other randomly preserved fragments of papyrus from the 2nd to 4th century, this fragment is almost perfectly symmetrical. It's a rectangle. There are no other fragments that have been found that are this perfect little rectangle, and when they analyzed it, the top part of it was intentionally sliced off of whatever it was attached to before. And both the right and the left edges have been broken off in remarkably straight lines. If you look at any ancient texts, the studies of fragments, the Dead Sea Scrolls and such, there are no perfect rectangles of fragments. It does not exist naturally. And surprise, surprise, the words immediately following Jesus saying, "My wife," happen to be missing. And some suggest, not just me, but some scholars suggest that this might not have been accidental, but perhaps, as one writer said, this was done in order to maximize profit. Because the goal of this little fragment reaching the media is for money to be made. Regardless of the authenticity, the unfortunate side of this revelation is how it is portrayed in the media. As I stated earlier, the name, the Gospel of Jesus' wife, it is a problem. Well, one, the fragment is smaller than an iPhone. It's not a gospel. And two, this is not the story of the wife of Jesus. It's some Gnostic writing. It's mostly some Gnostic nonsense that should be dismissed as being less than nothing. You look at the world of archaeology, and it is filled with discoveries that support the biblical account of history. As I was writing this, I was thinking about standing at Megiddo in Israel, in and among the stables that Solomon built. And there they are. The ancient Near East is filled with actual archaeological discoveries that support the biblical history. There is nothing in the Gnostic writings that even hints of history, but you will never hear about the good stuff in the news. They only love the stories about Jesus that try to chip away at the truth. But the great thing about truth is that it is absolute and it is unchangeable, just like God is. With news of this discovery, nothing has changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We hear James speak about those who wander from the truth and the great and mighty work it is for someone to bring them back. The Gnostics, they started in the Christian community and then went another direction with their hidden knowledge. That's where they got their name from. Gnosko is the Greek word for knowledge. They wandered away from the truth. our scripture readings today are full of examples and you know, talking about those who have meandered in and out of the truth. Moses had to deal with the rabble among the children of Israel who grumbled and complained against God. Oh, how they wandered away again and again. When you read the scriptures, what does God keep doing? He sends his prophets. He sends his judges. He finally sends his son. The children of God wander away. This seems to always happen. What also always happens is that God is always seeking out his children. It is always his desire to bring them back. The father of Gnosticism is Simon the Magician from Acts chapter 6. He's the one who tried to purchase the power of the Holy Spirit from Peter. And Peter calls him to repent. And Simon repents. But then we read from history that he wandered away once again. And he sought after the hidden knowledge that supposedly was out there. There's nothing new under the sun. All of what we hear in the news today, it's old news. The fact that the world hates Christ and wants to chip away at his reputation is old news. The fact that most of God's children have wandered away from the truth is old news. Like every generation, I know that we think that we have it harder than other generations in regard to life in the church. Oh, for the good old days. I challenge you to find any generation of the church that did not struggle with these same issues. I challenge you to find any generation of the church that did not have the children of God wandering away. Your task in this generation is no different than the task of every generation. Your task is to seek them out, to bring them back, and to save their soul from death. This is what the people of God have always done. The news of this fragment of papyrus, I consider it to be less than nothing. Tell me of someone who wandered away from the truth of Christ, who has been brought back, and now lives under the grace of baptism. That is newsworthy. A soul is saved from death. Now that is real news. It is your joyful task to go out and make some news. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.